Blog Talk Radio.
Tony, woo, my brother, that is Tony Monrell, and that is our special guest today. I mean, did you, that groove, I mean, I'm telling you, I was rising up out of my seat over here. I'm like, what? Come on, brother. So let's just bring him in right now, our special guest, Tony Monrell. What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, Tony, I am so, you know what, man, I'm so grateful that you're here. It's so nice to have you and hear your voice. And I know the last time we had you on, it was just breaking up. It was really bad. So, man, oh, man, I've been talking about you ever since. And so here you are.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's great to be back on again.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, man, it is a blessing, you know, because I've been around talent for, you know, all my life, and And I know it when I see it. I could tell when someone has put their time in. And so, and you are so deserving of your blessings, man. You just, I love the way that you entertain. I watch you, you know, on the internet and just watch you perform. And I'm so proud of you. And I you know, I just can't say enough. But what I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to share with the listeners here in the United States and around the world, like, who you are and how you became the artist that you are. How did you even start as a young man? And you take your time, and the show is about you. So however you want to start it, just take us down that road, man. Absolutely.
My Tony Monreal, born and raised in the UK to amazing Caribbean parents. My mother's from Jamaica, and my dad's from an island called St. Lucia. And growing up in the UK, we're a smaller demographic of ethnicity. You know, we had lots of different influences in terms of music within the house. My parents come from a Caribbean background. We had, you know, reggae, we had soca, we had jazz, country. We had all these different things, blues. Mm. And, you know, my younger uncles, you know, they introduced me to funk. To soul, and as a kid, you know, they came over with vinyl. I remember seeing this record, and my uncle taking out the sleeve and giving the smell of the vinyl and putting it down the record player, putting down the needle onto it, playing, and the name of the band was Shalimar. And that was the first kind of moment where I was like, man, I want to be in the entertainment business. I didn't know where I was going to be, but this is great. And, my uncle was introducing me to new stuff all the time. We were dancing. Usually on the weekends, me and my siblings, that's when we would do our chores in terms of the housework, you know, cleaning and stuff. So my job might have been polishing, but Shalimar's album would be, I'd be fighting with my siblings, like, this is what I want to hear. And we all actually loved it. So we were playing that album nonstop. It was great, and that's the kind of the beginning stages for me. To want to, like, you know, thinking to myself, one day I'd love to be on stage and do something. As you know, the progressed, I got myself in so many different styles of entertainment, and I think one of the things that was a big captivating moment for me, especially the early 80s, was this new wave of hip hop, and for me, hip hop, rap music, it graced the UK shores. And it had such an influence, as well as globally, but just the culture, it wasn't the music, the dress, the fashion, there's so many things. As a young teen, it captivated me. So I had the exposure of the soul music, and then I had the exposure of this new thing called rap, b-boy and pop and breakdance and the whole thing. I just knew, I was like, man, I want to be in the entertainment business.
Yes, so, yes.
And,
wow.
I went to a school, you know, in the UK that had really well-known music department, and I used my time being there, being around people that were doing different forms within the performing arts, and I absolutely loved it, and it just concreted things in my life. That's it. I'm definitely within the music business.
Wow.
It just things fine, and I actually didn't start singing really late in terms of singing. I was a hip-hop artist all the way until, let's say, 19, 20, and at that point, when I think I was about 18.
So you were a rapper, you said, before you were a singer?
Yeah, man, I was a hip-hop artist, I was a rapper.
Oh, wow.
I was a rapper, and it was one of the things that, it was a massive influence, and I'm quite good with lyrics, and I thought, well, let me find that. I really enjoy it, and that's the kind of new thing that everyone's digging. So that was kind of where my mind was at that young age. But as time went on, and you know, my band, we did the shows and stuff like that, and there was this thing in me that was still not complete yet. Things that need to be finished in terms of musical journey and to complete where I want to go. And it was me then falling in love again with the song.
Hold on, wait, wait, Hold it, Tony. Slow down just for a second because it's breaking up a little bit.
Man.
So say that part again, falling in love again with what?
Yeah, I was falling in love again with, like, music in terms of, like, songs and listening to voices and hearing music in a different way again. And growing up as a child, I went to church, heard, you know people singing in the congregation and the choir singing. And it just brought back home to me that there's something about that I needed to get back to. And I started to fall in love again, so I tapped back into listening to music. And I pulled out the Samar record, and I looked for it, and I got the track. There it is, what the song on. And I was like, man, this is it, man. I would hear it. I need to get back into that. Friends and family were like, dude, you singing voice. And I was like, you're crazy, man. I'm a hip hop artist. I was like, no, but you can sing. And I kind of put that aside. What happened, man?
I know, because you had to feel like, wait, don't try to change me. I know who I am. I know who I am.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
And how old were you at that time when they were telling you that?
They were telling me that throughout when I was in my hip hop stuff. Like, you know, when I was 16, you know, everyone was saying that. But I was trying to, like, get my voice as deep, as rough as possible. I, you know, my influence, Chuck D from Public Enemy and a lot of groups. So, you know, the stuff I was doing was all conscious-based. So I was like, no, this is who I want to be. But then others said, but you've got a great ear for music. You've got a great tone of singing. So I just ignored it. But I guess when I was getting a bit older, I started to fall back in love again. It, and I thought, wow, man, you know what, I never really sang, so I was nervous. And so what happened was, when I pulled out the Salomar record, and there was the Mothers, Luther Vandross, and Stevie, and a bunch of others, and they were kind of my go-to record.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, in order for me to kind of learn about singing, I'm going to join the youth choir, a lot of other singers.
Right.
Voice would be hidden, but then I could sing and hear what I sound like.
How old were you then, Tony? Because this is like you almost knew your destiny. How old were you when you said, I'm going to do this? I'm going to hook up with the choir. How old were you around? 21?
No, I was about 18.
18.
I didn't start singing until about 19. So 18 is when I thought, you know what, I'm going to kind of audition or get in the choir. And so that's what I did. I started singing around a little bit, joined the tenor section. And I thought, that's going to give me the confidence to see if this is really something I can do. And the funny thing was, the choir leader was walking past and heard me sing. And they went, okay, you're singing the lead on Sunday. Now, Wardell, bro, you know already. Being a black brother, you know already when it comes to black churches, there is no sympathy if you're sitting out here. You know that already. Literally, biblically stoned. So for me, I was in a situation where I was put right into the deep end. And, you know, they didn't even, like, put me, like, in the choir. They put me in the pulpit, and the choir would...
Wow.
So I had to sing this solo song and stuff, and I was really nervous, sweating, everything. But I got through it, but it was the church's response, and people around saying, oh man, you're really great, you should really like join the choir and, you know, sing more, you're great. And so that was when I really found that acceptance, and I thought, you know what, I've got it. If they think that I can do it, I can do it.
I
was in beat mode. I started to really listen to all different styles of music. I'd stay in my house, in my room, and I would play lots of vinyl and cassette tapes and sing along to songs. And that's basically how, you know, the transition got me into singing.
Let me just ask you this real quick. Now, you have both gifts, right? That you rap, and, you know, you flow, but you also have the gift of singing. What was the difference in you, the feeling that you had when you sang as opposed to rap?
That's a really great question, actually, because with rap, it was, you know, about tone, delivery, you know, and the same with singing. The singing side of it was a lot more emotion involved in that, because you're now accompanied by musical chords, whereas with a hip-hop groove, it might be a for a four bar, you know, cycle, and they might be like two or three notes, and that's it.
Right.
Those chords, and that's what the whole song, right? Whereas when it's a song, there's so many things going on. Usually there is a verse, and then there's a pre-chorus, and then the chorus, which is another change, and then there might be a verb or a bridge. So all of these things emotionally take you somewhere else. And so for me, you know, I got taken to my first, you know, in church, I was taken to my first concert. And, you know, I was doing a lot of, I said, the hip-hop stuff. And I started to listen, and I fell in love with the group called the Winans. And listening to the Winans thing, I was like, man, this is incredible. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, some of my friends were like, we're going to this concert, you need to check this group called Commission. And I was like, forget about that, man. I'm about the Winans. There's nothing better than the Winans. And look, don't sleep on this. I'm telling you, you need to check out Commission. And so my friend actually bought me a ticket, and they were playing at a venue called the Royal Festival Halls here in London. And I was taken on a ridiculous journey of emotion. And I never expected anything like that. And so I heard Fred Hammond and Marvin Sapp and the rest of the guys, Rachel Jones, Carl Reed, singing. And that was it. It was like, that was it. It was, that was literally the moment that I was like, right, that's it. I'm gonna be an artist. I'm going to emotionally challenge people, lyrically challenge people. I want to be able to change an atmosphere where I'm singing. I want to take you to a place that you will find your emotions to the point that you'll cry.
Yeah.
I want to take you somewhere where you just feel like a moment of joy or peace or a moment of jubilation. That was kind of me, that feeling. This is amazing that they can sing this way and have an effect on people's lives. So that was it. I wanted to kind of, you know, be that form of artist.
All right. Let me ask you a question. The first, you said, I don't know if it was your dad or your uncle that gave you, let you hear a Shalimar record.
Yeah.
What song? Do you know what song that was?
Dude, he was playing me. He was literally like freaking me out by playing me all of the stuff. He had all vinyl, right? So I first heard, Get to the Bank. I heard Friends. I heard all of the, I mean, it just blew me away.
Wow.
Sweet as the Day Go By. There were tunes that I was getting exposed to, you know?
Right. Tony. I want you to know that's me playing drums on all the Shalimar stuff.
Now, bro, I already know this.
You know that?
The first time that we spoke, I know this.
Oh, my God.
The first time we spoke, we'll talk about influences and stuff, whatever, and then, you know, one of my early influences was Shalimar, and you paused. And we were talking, and you went, dude, you know that I'm one of the original members of Shalimar? And I was like, what?
I can't believe it.
And stuff like that. And it was like, yeah. And I was like, you're kidding me.
Wow.
So, yeah.
This is, amazing. Well, because just hearing your story, it really blesses me. It's like, man, you have no idea. We have no idea. And that's what you're doing right now for someone. Just like I had no idea that music that we were doing back then would influence someone like you to want to do this, you know? And so you're doing that same exact thing for another kid somewhere around the world and blessing them. So, man, that's why it's so good to hear your story. And I'm glad you're sharing your story, because it's going to be, someone's going to go, oh my God, that's my story. He stole my story.
Yes. You know, seriously, like, also as well, I love listening, you know, I'm looking at the vinyl and the artwork and the photography, the style, and over the years, of the thousand imagery changed, and also the sound was changing. It blew me away, you know, like I heard like Fred's album. I'm thinking my uncle, this is this, you know, when I was a small child, but he had there's an album where they were all dressed in white, and Uptown Festival had that. He had you know, Big Fun, the look of the album that I was like, you know, like exposed to. That was the first thing I heard and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, Shalimar's just like a massive influence to me, man.
Wow, that's awesome. Man, oh man. So how did you end up moving towards jazz? Because I know your sister, Sade, you worked with her. So how did that how did that come about for you? I mean, and was that before you did your solo career or before?
Well, actually, what happened was, so I, you know, at that time, like from singing in church, and I was singing in choirs and different gospel groups and stuff. And then, you know, I actually started to do working vocals and stuff, and friends of mine had session agencies where I was working with a lot of pop acts. So one of the first kind of recording sessions was with Gloria Estefan, and then it jumped on to do some stuff with Celine Dion and loads of other like major pop artists. And what happened was, a friend of mine at the time, in fact, what happened was I got called up to work with Robert Palmer.
Robert Palmer?
UK rock, yeah. Man of love, face it, you're addicted to love.
Right. Yeah, yes, so yes.
He did all these big hits, and he was part of Power Station. And I did a tour in America with him and a bunch of friends of mine singing. And after the tour, maybe like, I want to say maybe a year or so later, friend of mine that was on the tour with me called me up and said, hey man, like, I'm in this band, I've just recorded an album with this band Incognito. Right, like, yeah, I know Incognito. And he goes, well, hey, check it out, Bluey, the band leader, he's done this album, the album's called Life Stranger Than Fiction, and he would like someone else to come in and some extras to backing vocals. The record's already written and the vocals are done, but there's some part that they would like to have a vocalist on. And so he said, you know, I recommended you. So I'm like, wow, okay, wow. Yeah, I'd love it. So I went to the studio with Bluey, and, you know, they did some of the stuff to me and to figure out some harmonies and things that I could do, counterpart stuff.
Right,
and
right.
I did that, and the session was great. And, you know, when you're recording a song, and you might wait to set up the next track for another take. So the time when we're setting up in the control room and we're talking on the mics and stuff, I'm still working out a part that we're going to put this next track. And so I start singing. And then all of a sudden I see Blue coming out of the control room, open the big doors, going, yes, yes, this is the voice I've been looking for. And so I didn't know what was going on. I thought, this guy's
were you looking around
he closes
like,
the door. Yeah, he closes the door and goes back into the studio. But little did I know that he was actually on the phone to his management and, hey, I've got this guy. He's actually here to do this recording session, but I want this guy in the band. And they were like, you can get him in the band right now. You know, we're about to get ready to go to America, and we can't get visa applications at that time. So you have to put that on hold for a few months until you come back to the UK. So Bluey then approached me after the session and told me all of this, that he wanted me a part of the band. And, you know, when he gets back in the UK for the tour, he would like to join the band. And I was like, man, wow, I came just to do a vocal session and landed the gig to play the band. Yeah, I'd love to. So they went off, they started to do their rehearsals for the tour. Now, here's the connection between Incognito and Sade. So while they were rehearsing in this famous rehearsal studio in London called John Henry's, Incognito was in one room, and in the other room, in the private area, was Sade. And she was auditioning for a new member of her band. Louise and Sade met up in the cafeteria. They were talking, chopping it up, because they knew each other. What are you doing? Oh, where the band, we're about to go on America. Sade, what are you doing? Finishing the album, we're just an audition for a new singer. And he went, okay, can I see a list? He goes, yeah, we've been here for like 2 weeks auditioning, and we've got a couple of people on reserve, but we're not 100% sure. The Blue said, can I have a look at this list? She shows him this list, goes through all the names, gets to the very last page and goes, the guy that you want, his name isn't on the list, and he wouldn't even know about this audition. I've just met him, and I want him in my band, but I'm going to tell you now, this is the guy you need to call.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. I love it. Man, some things are just meant to be.
Yeah, he called me up that night about midnight and said, hey, listen, you get a really important call tomorrow. Make sure you're available. Could even say, oh, hey, Blue, how you doing? Just click, put the phone down. So I was like, what was that about? You know, it's going to change your life. I was like, who is this guy? Is he a genie? Is he? True to his word, the day I was doing some grocery shopping, and I'm not sure, I don't know who's going to call me. The phone rings, and I completely forgot about the phone call I had the night before with Bluey. The phone rings, and she said, hi, is this Tony? I said, yeah. She said, this is Sade. I've been doing a lot about, I went, excuse me, Sade? Sade who? Sade, you know, Bluey spoke to me. She just carried on speaking, like, Sade? And then I'm like, okay, this is cool. So she says, look, I've heard so much about you, I feel compelled to meet directly, to meet up with you if you're available. We're looking for a new member of the band, and I've been told so much about you. I just wanted to see if you were able to come over and meet up and, you know, and find out a little bit more about you. I'm like, okay, great. What day this week would you like me, you know, to meet up? She said, I'm really sorry. We've actually closed our audition and some of the guys have come back to the States. I need to meet now. So I was like, now?
She went, now.
I'm really sorry, but now. Here's my home address. We finished the rehearsals. Here's my home address. And if you can get up here, you know, I'd really appreciate it. So I was like, oh, okay. To go home freshen up. And I wanted to see if she could give myself a few more. I said, okay, just have a nice tea, wait with some chocolate, please. You know, I'm not too fussy. That would be great. And she laughed and said, right, see you soon. Put the phone down.
Not
I got
quick.
Home. Yeah, showered. And then I drove over to her house and had a quick prayer outside of her house in my car. Forwarding, I go through. My sister came into the room with a pot of tea and some chocolate cookies. You know, we started talking, and I said, look, do you need me to sing something, or I've got a CD of some demos, what would you like me to do? And she said, well, basically, I've just got these songs, just try and find a harmony, if you can. And she was there with her other singer, Leroy, and I was like, okay. Now, growing up in church, I knew that I could easily do that. And I could easily hear the harmony variations. So we spent some time going through it. I said, okay, ready to sing. And we started to sing. And I was closing my eyes, trying to pay attention to the tone, the notes and everything. Mm-hmm. And her management team came in and they just said, look, I'm really sorry, but it sounds like you guys have been singing together for years, you know? So That, in my mind, was like, that was a green tick. I was like, wow, they kind of like me. And then we sang a couple of songs. And that's it. It was like we were talking for about 4 hours. And it got to the point because all the beverages that I was drinking and stuff, I said, I'm really sorry, I really need to use the bathroom. Is it possible? She said, yeah, just go straight up the stairs and, you know, to the left. And so as I got up, I cheeky turned to them and this will give you the great opportunity to talk behind my back because I know you need to talk. And I left. I went upstairs and said another prayer. If it's for me. And they just said, listen, we would love to have you in the band.
And well,
the rest is history, bro. The rest is history. And literally, my career, in terms of all the various music projects I've done, my career, my stable has been incognito. And that was really seeing in me the gift of my personality. Not even knowing enough to go and say to Sade, you need all this guy. And then so now my over the years it's literally been I've springboarded from one camp to the other. So I was finished Sade and I went straight in with Incognito for a few years and Sade took a break and as soon as she was ready to do another album, straight back with Sade. And that's kind of been.
Man, you just laid it down, brother. And that's a lot for me to unpack. I'm still like absorbing and try to digest this amazing story, man. And woo, that was just the answer to one question. How did you hook up with Sade? It was so overwhelming. It's like a movie, man. They need to do a movie about you. I tell you, that's a movie right there. Wow, that's so good. Listen, I have listeners that have a couple of questions for you. Then after that, I want to get into another one of your songs. Let me see if I can bring this up. Man, oh, man, thank you so much. I'm so blessed. But let me see. It says right here, the introduction to the song, I want to Be Loved, carries a powerful message. What happened that inspired you to include that intro to the song?
Well, you know what happened was I was writing. I write. It's funny that you just said like it's like a movie, and that's literally how I write. I write visually and cinematic, and I wanted a song that we could all relate to. No matter where you're from, you'll see yourself in this picture that I was painting. And so I remember walking down the street one day and seeing this person asking for money, begging for money outside of a grocery store, and giving him some money. But I noticed, you know, all the other people that didn't notice him, because it was a case of, you know, embarrassment, didn't want to be bothered or pretend to be on their phone and walking past. And this guy was being so pleasant to everybody, or have a good day, stuff like that. And it just gave me the feeling of, I need to write about this. Somebody, this, you know, we don't know nothing about this guy's story. So the idea of me writing it, it was more about like the Virgos, if, you know, if I was a soldier, I'd be on the front line. If I was a teacher, I'd open up your mind. If I was a surgeon, I'd mend all broken hearts. That's just the start. That's just the start. If I was a builder, I would build a perfect home. In fact, if I was that building, I would be the cornerstone. Oh. That's just wishful thinking. None of those I'll ever be. I want to be loved for me. And it's the whole song is about imagining being all of these people that you see and go by and saying, I could be that, I could do that. But there's another reality being, well, I'll never be in any of those things, but I want to be loved. I want to be recognized. I want to be noticed. So that's what that song's about.
Man, that is beautiful. Wow. What about, man, this is an emotional interview. Wow. You are hitting some notes here, buddy. Tell us about, tell me, you have a story about Whitney Houston in your life?
Oh, yeah. Whitney, yeah, man. I got a friend of mine, Michael Baker, who was her musical director for 20 years. He was friends with Andrew Hale from Sade. And he was like, listen, you've got this guy, Tony. We need someone. We're just about to do another record. And we've got promo dates coming and stuff like that. And it'd be great if he could be around. And so I got the connect. And cutting long story short, we did some European TV shows together. And it was just a beautiful opportunity to meet somebody that was legendary as that, and such an incredible vocalist. And working with her was beautiful. She made me feel really welcome, and the rest of the team as well. And it was just a beautiful, you know, experience of a few months traveling various parts of Europe with such a wonderful Whitney.
Wow, that's beautiful, man. All right, Tony. Well, I want to get to this song, Escape. But you, I think you have a story that you could share with us about this. And I'm trying not to keep you too long, man. But I know you've been, it's been a long day for you already. It's evening, evening over there, so we do appreciate you. And by the way, I just want to give a shout out from the people that work here, Greg and Astrid. They wanted to give you a shout. Yeah.
Big shout out to Greg. Massive shout out to Astrid. Yeah. I did a show in Amsterdam the back end of last year. In fact. At the show, they told us that they're going to do another lockdown. They're going to have the last concert in Amsterdam for this year. So we performed, and Astrid came to the show, and you know, she was the one that really like championing the interview and really hoping that it came together and stuff like that. So Astrid, thank you so much for all of your input. I really do appreciate it.
There you go.
Basically, this song Escape, in height of the first and second major lockdown that we had globally, especially in the UK, we couldn't go to work. We couldn't, you know, I couldn't fly, I couldn't travel, I couldn't go to the studio, I couldn't do nothing. And I've got a home studio, so I needed to be creative. All of my tours were cancelled or postponed. I just thought I need to come up with something. So I spoke to the guys in my team, and I said, look, you know what, I want to write an EP with selective songs. I want to, the theme is going to be called the Lockdown Acoustic Sessions. We're just going to record remotely, bring all the track files together, and bring these songs together. So literally, I wrote the songs with my guitar. Some of the co-writers were in Italy. I had some strings done that was in Petersburg, Russia. Some stuff here in the UK. And so we just put all of these things together to make this EP. And first single off that EP is called Escape. It's literally all about the lockdown. And it's all about what we visually find a place to escape to get through the kind of the mental process. So this is what it is, this Escape.
All right. And so we'll take a listen and we'll be right back with Tony Morrell on Solar Records Video. Wow.
Come on, get up, you gotta do it now. Let's go.
Tony, what's happening, man? You, I got to tell you that the reason why I say your name so much is because it's, first of all, because I like you. You're a wonderful man. But also, that's my best friend's name, my childhood best friend, Tony, and he's gone.
Okay.
And so you know, when I say your name, I think about Tony as well. It's passionate for me. So your name means a lot to me. It goes way back in my childhood history. So Tony, when I say Tony, every time I say it, I get this. It's like, Tony, it's Tony.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, but anyway, man, oh man. So if people want to follow you, man, and support your career and just know, you know, like, we want to know when you're touring over here, by the way. Do you have any plans to come over here?
Yeah, prior to the lockdown, man, I had some dates. So we're just trying to, like, see what can get, you know, can be moved around and stuff. You know, some venues now, unfortunately, they've been hit so badly that they're no longer around. So there's a few things that we're trying to do. And obviously, in terms of the way that the laws are there, in terms of performance, stuff like that, it's just
right.
Ease back to some normality. So I'm hoping that towards the end of the year, autumn, that I can get some dates out in the States and, you know, grace the stage. And, you know, incognito doing some stuff, you know, sisters working on some stuff at the same time as well. So anywhere around, I will be going to America. So I'm just trying to, you know, get it in place. I can do some dates. And stuff.
Are you still working with Sade?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Man, look at you. All right, man. Well, much love to you. And I'm a big fan of hers as well. I mean, I grew up listening to her, and I play her on my shows every Wednesday. So today she will be playing.
Oh, cool.
You know,
oh,
but
nice.
But even not just Wednesdays, yeah, even on Throwback Thursday as well. So let me see what else it is. So how can people follow you?
So you can catch me on, basically, I'm on every single one, every most, you know, social handles. So it'll just be Tony Monrell. I'll be on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter. You can also go directly to my website, tonymonrell.com, where you can catch all the latest news as well as dates and merchandise and all that kind of stuff. And however platform you choose to contact me, if you send the messages directly to me, I do respond personally. So my teammate intercept it and say, we'll get back to you, but it's that response.
Okay. Do you think, this is from, I'm reading, do you think that each album you do in the future would benefit from an acoustic session to accommodate the original studio album?
One more time again.
Do you think that each album you do in the future would benefit from an acoustic session to accompany the original?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, actually, I've actually been toying with the idea of doing some stuff. I did actually do an acoustic show a couple of months ago in London, just to see how it would go with some of my other songs. And it was a sellout. And so for me, definitely, I'm looking at doing some more acoustic stuff where it's just on the voice and just a singular voice. And, I'm working on some stuff. And I think down the line, I will be introducing some other stuff that people have heard from me that they've heard as a full band arrangement, but it will be done as an acoustic set. So, yeah.
Okay. And one last question from the listeners. Can you share your thoughts about Donny Hathaway?
Oh, wow. I mean, where do I start?
And his daughter.
So it was. So you know, with Donny, listen to the music that I've listened to, and I remember it was the year 2000 that I was on tour with in America with Sade, and she was the one that when we were doing our vocal warm ups and stuff like that, she was listening to my phone, and she said, you know, I know obviously your influence is Stevie Wonder. But she said, you know, and also like Donny Hathaway, I can hear Donny Hathaway in your voice. Donny Hathaway is she said, that's my favorite artist. And I was like, oh, wow. And I said, to be honest with you, you know, listening to the gospel music I've been listening to growing up, a lot of the other singers were influenced by Donny and Steve. So I never really kind of, until around that time, and heard a lot of his music, but I never, I didn't advance to that level musically to really pay attention to what he was doing. And I thought, you know what, I've listened to some Donny stuff. Let me go and really study this, because if she's famous, that means a lot. And I, oh man, I listened to All We Know. I heard A Thing For You, and I was on tour bus, and I was crying like a baby.
Oh.
And it just hit so much that I was like, now I knew of Layla. Layla dropped her hit Baby Baby Don't Cry, was her first single. So I knew who she was, and I loved her voice. But there's so many things that I was listening to. Well, I decided to go back into the vault and get some CDs of Donny and convert them over to my iPod and listen to everything that he did. It just completely blew me away. He was a musician far ahead of his time, and the influences he had, he was just so out there compared to a lot of the other artists of his time. I was very privileged to meet, you know, with Layla as other people in the industry that have known Donny and throughout his career, and to hear some stories, it's just amazing. So he's definitely an influence of mine. And as a matter of fact, on this Lockdown Acoustic EP, I've done a song in tribute to him, and it's Someday We'll All Be Free, and that's with the strings. And it's a beautiful acoustic rendition of it all. And Donny, Layla, they're great people. They mean a lot to me.
Awesome. That's great. And, you know, I will be playing that throughout the show. I'll play that on the show today as well, so that people can hear. Yes, absolutely. Now, in closing, is there anything that you would, you know, that's on your heart that you might want to share with the listeners, your fan base?
You know what? I'm really, you know, this is the time and season of showing appreciation, because there's a point when I didn't know when I would get back to, you know, being on the stage or making music, this lockdown. And I was hit with COVID. It was the first bout pretty bad. Not it didn't hospitalize me, but it was still pretty rough. I lost friends and family through it too. And so for me, I'm at a point of appreciation, and what's kept me going actually been fans just messaging me and talking about listening to my music, whether they're doing some DIY in their house or at the gym or working out or whatever it may be. It's been really nice to know that people really think about my music and what it means to them, how it's a part of the tapestry of their lives. So I'm grateful to every listener. I'm grateful to yourself and everybody on the show just to promote and push out what I do. So that's really where I'm at the moment. Every interview that I've done, I'm always, and even the shows, showing my gratitude. And that fuels me and gives me the energy to keep going.
That's awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. That was well said. And in closing, the last song I'm playing is I Can't Live Without You. You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wanted a song that had a reference to Stevie, also from had a gospel feel to it. A song that, you know, it says on the box, man, I can't live without you. I could have gone through all of these things. None of these things have been without you. And that could be a person in your life or a higher power. For me, I wrote that about God, and it was like that whole experience of like where I'm on in my life. None of those things have been possible without you. So that's what I Can't Live Without You is about. And I know from checking out the algorithms and stuff on my streams and stuff, it gets ridiculously paid a lot in America. So I'm very appreciative of that.
Oh, awesome. Wow, man. Well, you know, God bless you, man. And thank you for, you know, coming on and blessing us with your story and your time and your music. We appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio. Much love from the family of Solar Records Radio. And God bless you. And, you know, we'll keep your legacy alive here at Solar Records Radio. So anytime when you drop a new record or something, let us know, man, so we can bring you on and chop it up a little bit. We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the time. And thanks so much for the interview as well. Finally did it, Woody. We finally did it.
We finally got it done. Woo! I've been chasing this guy.
When I come to the States, man, I really look forward to seeing you and having you a guest at whatever show it is, whether it's Incognito, my solo tour, or Big Sister Sade, tickets on me.
All right. Well, I will find you. And I'll keep you posted.
Man.
As you know. So, you know, Austin is Austin, Texas. They said that that is the live capital of the world. So I'm thinking maybe you guys, I was just there hanging out with Cool and the Gang. And so I'm thinking, you know, a lot of groups from around the world go there to Austin. So that'd be nice.
I had an amazing time. I don't know if it was the Toyota Arena or is it the American Airlines in Austin. I can't remember which arena it is there, but I had an amazing time. I had an incredible steak dinner.
There you go.
That was amazing, man.
There you go. So you've been there already. So that's
man. I know Austin well, man.
Yeah, so I'm an hour away from there, you know. So we'll come up and hang
cool.
out. Oh, man, I'll come up and hang out with you, man. That'll be great. That'll be awesome. Just keep me posted.
Beautiful.
And but you know, take care of yourself first and make sure that, you know, the COVID thing is done. Or at least we're protected as best as we can be, right? Because we need you around for a long time. We appreciate you, man. You have an amazing gift. And so thank you for sharing that with us. And you take care of yourself, man. And we'll catch
Thanks
you later.
Thanks again, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, Tom. We up and out, brother.
Thank you, man.
Much love.
Take care. Much love.
All right.
I can't even.
great song, man. I just love the way that song comes on. I'm just like, Tony. Anyway, guys, all right, it's about time. We got about 2 minutes, and then we're kicking over to the other half of the show. That was a wonderful interview from Tony Mamrell. Man, oh, man. And, you know, he's just a nice guy. He's, you know, talented, very talented, and was very wise, right, in his young days, just kind of navigated his way through until he found his spot. And what a blessing it is. So, anyway, guys, so we're going to continue to enjoy Hump Day. That's every Wednesday, Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio. And about that good food, good music, and good company, and a good interview. Oh, man, those interviews matter. As Greg says, interviews matter. And so that's what we did. And I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. And if you tuned in at the very end of it, I just want you to know that once this show is over, then you can go back and start it from the beginning. Because if you click in right in the middle of the show, you got to stay with us all the way through. It doesn't start from the beginning. Now, every day after this, it starts from the beginning. But the live, you know, our shows are live. So you're riding right with us. So we hope you enjoy the show. It's like going to a concert. If you got there late, you're not going to see the band that was already played. He just missed out. And so, but I just, you know, I want you to know that you could at least hear this interview that Tony shared with us as soon as the show is over. You can go back and listen, and not just to these, but you can go back to listen to all our shows again. So the archives are sitting there waiting for you, and we appreciate you here at Soul Out Records Radio. Thanks, Greg and Astrid, for blessing us, with the stuff that you guys do. And Tony seemed to be very, very appreciative of, Astrid going out and being there at the concert with him and stuff, and, you know, I'm blessing him. So thanks again for, you know, we people here, we really love what we do. We love the music. We don't just do it just to do it. We actually have a passion for it. And you could tell that in, you know, if you see Astrid, she's always out there to the concerts and taking pictures with everybody. And Greg's artwork, you could see his passion in his work. And he does a gazillion things behind the scenes. So, man, oh, man, and, you know, I just love, and I love when Don is on because he's more of a DJ per se, and I'm just doing it out of love. I just love to do it. I love talking to these talented, amazing people that have stories that are really lessons for some people, you know. Like, for instance, you know, I would have never known if he wasn't on this show that he, was inspired by music that I played drums on and wrote for Shalimar to pursue his music career. And so, you know, that's the gift of interviews and sitting down and chopping it up with people. And that's what I love. I love to get these stories and understand. Let me see. My motivation was Stanley Clark, Lenny White, Chick Corea, and Al DiMeola. And you probably have no idea who those people are because they were jazz musicians. They know who they are. Chick Corea is gone, but the other three are still here, and they are amazing. Stanley Clark is a bass player from out of Philadelphia. A lot of you guys know him because he also did a lot of movie scores as well. He's one of the best bass players in the world. And so, I admired him. And he went to Philadelphia Music Academy. And so that school was so hard to get into. I was like, I'm barely doing good enough here in regular high school. And I said, I can't do that. And with dyslexia, and I didn't even know it was dyslexia that I had. I just knew that I couldn't function like everybody else, and I and the school didn't know what was wrong either. They didn't, technology wasn't up to par at that time. And so not until I got to college is when I found out I had dyslexia. I wasn't going to let that get in the way of pursuing my dream, right? My passion was driving me. And so I ended up going to Norfolk State in Virginia. And that's when my career started on a break. I went on a spring break and got a phone call. And next thing I know, I was in California. And that's the way love goes, right? So anyway, guys, we're going to get into the music and stuff. So time for some good food. Oh, man, good music. And I'm by myself in the studio, so I need somebody to keep me company, too. So we got each other, right? So if nobody's there, we got it. At least we have each other. So let's kick back and relax. And my girl, Alisa Gomez, tell her. She's constantly hit me up, so I got to make sure I'm playing her songs. Like, y'all know how that is, right? She's like, hey, you haven't played my song in a while. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, so here we go. Alisa Gomez Taylor. So I recommend.
Thank you.
Got to give it up, right? I mean, that's some good music right there, and I do appreciate, you know, Tony sharing his story about Sade, and what a wonderful story, and to have her give you a call and say, I want you to come down, let's do this, and the rest was history. He's been with her ever since. It's a beautiful thing. She's an amazing artist. She's really had her own thing, and I have so much respect for Sade. I look forward to the day I get to meet her. Maybe when Tony comes. Yeah, maybe they'll be together. We get to hang out. Yeah, that'd be awesome. So let me see here. I started off the segment with my girl, Alisa Gomez Taylor, Innocent, and I just, you know, I have a lot of respect for Alisa. I love her passion, and she's from Dayton, Ohio, and she's always trying to renew herself and always trying to get better, and so I have a lot of respect for that, and I appreciate that. Alisa, much love to you, my sister. God bless you, and have a blessed and beautiful Wednesday from all of us at Solar Records Radio. And then after that was Darnell White and Chucky Booker, featuring Chucky Booker. That's his nephew. And we had Chucky Booker on a few months back, and that was fun just chopping it up with him. And hearing his story, how he worked with Janet Jackson, and he used to come around. I used to see him all the time in different places, but we never did anything together. We always talked about it. But we never, you know, sometimes things, you know, no matter how much you talk about it, it's just not meant to happen, you know, because you get so caught up in doing whatever the other things are that are in your life, but sometimes we regret those things. So if there's anything like that may be happening in your life, just in general, not necessarily music or anything, but you know, you need to go see someone. You keep saying, I'm gonna come over and see you, I'm gonna come. Go do it. Just say, you know what, when the thought comes to my head, I'm coming, I'm gonna do it right here and now and get it done, because life can pull some. It flies by before you know it. You know, 2, 3, 5 years have gone by. You go, what happened to time? And that's just the way it goes. So, but anyway, guys, I want to thank you again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio, as we have another 36 minutes left in this show. And so I hope you're enjoying some of this music with us here. And we're going to keep this music going here on Solar Records Radio. Much love to you, and God bless you, and thank you again for everything you do. Don't forget about Throwback Thursday. Oh, Throwback Thursday. I'm so excited about Throwback Thursday, because You know, I want to see some more pictures. Come on, guys. Don't be shy. Show your pictures. You know, put them in the show page, on the show page, so we can see your throwback pictures. It is, it's a fun time, you know. I even posted my Daisy Duke shorts. They're like, what kind of shorts are those? That's back in the day before Michael Jordan came out and lowered the shorts. Magic Johnson and those guys and Larry Bird, they wore the little short shorts. And so that was the style back then. And so the skinny leg guys was like, I'm so glad we got the long shorts now. Now I can participate. But it was, that was just what we did. And we, it was fun. It was fun times. I remember Dick Griffey said, you shouldn't be coming up here with those little shorts on. I joke because I was riding my bike. I rode my bike all over the place. That's how I stayed in shape. And so I rode my bike from the studio. I said, hey, I got a check for you. Want to come get the check? Yeah, I'll come over and get my shoes. I got on my bike, put my backpack on, helmet, and I hit the road. I left the studio. Leon said, where are you going? I said, I got to go pick up a check. I got to go, Joe. Got to go. So I got it in my bike, and I hit the road. I went down Beverly Hills on my bike and ended up there at the office in Hollywood. And Dick Griffey's like, ooh. And I had my helmet. I had the whole gear on when I got there. He's like, who are you? What are you? He's used to people showing up in the car. I came in with all my gear on. My bike was outside, and I come in. I got the helmet. I probably had knee pads on or something. I don't know what I had on, elbow pads. I had on all kind of stuff. Just like I was a racer. I was into it. And he was like, you shouldn't be coming up here. You wearing shorts up here? I don't care. I just want my check. Give me my money. And those were so throwback pictures. Throwback pictures. Come on, guys. Stop it. You know, show us what you're working with. Greg ain't shy at all. You should see the pictures he posts. Y'all got to see them. And post yours, too. All right? Anyway, Astrid, you know, y'all know Astrid, she's the girl always, you know, showing the legs. It's all cute. Astrid shows her pictures when she was zero. It's like, what? How old were you? I think I was zero. Who said zero? That's so cute. I can't even, I'll never think that. Always make me laugh when I hear her say that. Zero. Zero? Who's zero? Oh, that girl's crazy. All right, let's get back into the music. This is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio. I'm having fun by myself.
In 1973, the year I was born, an album was given to the world, performed and written by one of the greatest artists to ever live. The album, Extensions of a Man. The artist, Mr. Donny Hathaway. The song I'm about to sing is a song that's close to my heart. The lyrics were written for Donny by a friend of his, Edward Howard, due to the things that he was going through. And even more now today, I believe that this song rings true.
say it's Wardell. You ready?
I'm still hoping.
Babe, I think it's truly the right thing to do when you know you've got the best to let them know you'll never let go.
Some say the best is under pressure.
Radio, and we had a wonderful, wonderful day. Thanks also to our special guest, Tony Mamrell. Thanks, Tony. What a blessing you were for coming on and sharing your story and your music with us. We appreciate you, brother. Continued success and look forward to seeing you when you get out here to hang out with us, okay? Thanks, man. God bless you. So that last song, that was me, Wardell Potts on Solar Records Radio. I guess that's the label I'm on, I guess. Solar Records Radio, okay. And, You're the Best. And then before that, Stanley Clark, Lopsy Lou. And man, oh man, make me think of Reuben Edwards, my childhood friend who played bass like no other, amazing bass player. And then I played the song by Tony Morrell, Someday We'll All Be Free. What a beautiful song. Man, oh man, Donnie Hathaway would be proud. And but anyway, guys, I am proud as well. I love my team, Astrid and Greg. You guys are the best, and I appreciate you guys so much. And I just want to say, you know, take it easy. Have a blessed and beautiful rest of your evening. I know it's nighttime overseas. So you guys get some rest, and we'll see you tomorrow on Throwback Thursday. Don't forget your pictures. Y'all know. Y'all got to show us what you're working with. Good night. Love you. Good night. Every time I think about it, baby and I is making dollars.
All my need to breathe, body breaking down, and I'm on my knees.
Maybe we should go with Chris, shake our body,
and have some fun like everyone. Come on, baby, let's get strong.
Every time I turn around, my baby sits at that computer.
Her smile can't be fine, working like that all the time. Don't let it go, have some fun like everyone. Come on baby, let's get some.
Chop, chop, celebrate your food. Chop, chop, now look to you. Chop, chop, come on, get new. Chop, chop, do what you do.
Time to do that.
I've got to pay my dues. Been pushing on, can't hang around, I still got work to do. Been working hard, I'm doing my part to make my dream come true. Not holding back, I'm on the track to my breakthrough. Dedication, staying true to what I love. Determination is finally paying off. Here's to the haters and fakers, you never stop me. I'm better, I'm stronger, and everyone can see I'm moving up. Always stay ready. Clean hustle, clean money, I'm a lady. Work hard, go hard, play hard. All eyes on me, I'm a star. A real chick, the kind of cake for me. And mama get along, cause my game is strong. Brains up, my beauty I fall. Rising to the top, making money, I'm a ball.
I've got to stay on top of my game and represent the best. Not gonna stop till I'm on top. I won't settle for less. I'm on the road to another plateau. I'm reaching for the sky. Look at me now, I'm on a cloud. It's my time to shine.
Dedication, staying true to what I love. Determination is finally paying off. Cheers to the haters and fakers, you never stop me. I'm better and stronger, and everyone can see.
Bless you.